Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. In our last episode, we got the third medallion. And according to Sahasrara, we are prepared to go obtain the Master Sword. I don't know about you guys. It felt getting the Master Sword and like it almost felt like it was rushing us to it and almost felt anticlimactic compared to previous Zelda games.
I mean, compared to Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Which unfortunately was the last Zelda game I played before playing. No, not quite true. But yeah, it is. Yeah. But then also, it doesn't take long before you realize that the Master Sword is going to be powered up throughout the game as well. So it doesn't feel like this is the final, this is the big weapon. It's symbolic, definitely. And it does feel early to get it, but there's still plenty of sword still left in it.
Right. It almost just felt like Sahasrara was like, oh, I've got this one tool that I left in the forest in my toolbox. Just go get that. And then we can break the seal on this castle real quick.
Yeah.
But we could go and do that, or we can now go back over to our house and Ravio will let us now buy weapons to permanently own. Did either of you spend some time grinding to buy these weapons?
Absolutely.
I spent what I had, and that got me all but the ice rod and the fire rod, I think are 1,200 apiece. The rest were like 800. So I bought all of those. I had enough. Not to brag, but I found a lot of rupees down the side of some likes.
Yeah, I spent a while getting rupees for this because I died so many times throughout this episode that I'm so happy that I bought so many of the items. Like, originally, I just bought bombs and, the hammer, because I was like, okay, that'll work for me. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy as much as I can, because it's going to be nice, and it'll take out a lot of backtracking. So, it's nice.
So,
absolutely.
I didn't actually, buy everything. I think I've purchased four. Now, my reasoning is that I only bought enough that I had that I could upgrade with the Mai Mai. That was my thought process with this, because I was fine otherwise. Because again, playing it on the normal mode, I've got at this point now, I have four bottles, all have fairies in them. I'm going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I did go and do that rupee rush minigame and got my phone out, just set a 30-second timer, and I was walking away with about 400 rupees each session. So,
wow. Okay,
yes, I'm able to grind that out, because if you there's a time gap between when it says start and when you can start moving. And if you go and, keep an eye on your stopwatch, if you have 5 seconds left, just go walk up to the guy. And then as soon as your timer goes off, hit A, that'll have you within the 1 second. Like, I've literally.
Yeah, of course, because then it multiplies. I forgot about that. I was like, where on earth were you getting that?
If you get less than 1 second, then you get times 3 multiplier.
Yeah.
And so I was easily able to walk away with 300, 400 rupees each session.
Lovely stuff.
Still didn't buy all the weapons, though. I'm waiting. Well, because there's something later on that I did have to spend a lot of rupees on. And so I was just like, I'm just going to throw things at that for now.
See, I can't remember what that is. And I was like, I thought, like, in my mind, literally up until this point, I was like, well, this is all I've got to spend my money on. So
have it all. It's a next episode thing. So we won't talk anymore about
it.
Right. Yeah.
Going and upgrading these my weapons. Do you guys have a personal favorite upgrade of these right now?
I love the big bombs. Big bombs are great.
Big bombs are very satisfying. Nice.
The tornado rod as well, the upgraded tornado rod with the increased sort of field of area of effect.
That's
the term, isn't it? That's very useful for just knocking a few enemies out, so you can just then make your way around, because there's some tough groups of enemies ahead.
The upgraded fire rod is
I was just
really
about to say
nice.
That, yes. It's
because
so
it
cool.
Sends like, it sends like this giant like tornado of fire forward, and it just looks so cool. It deals like a ton of damage too, so it's awesome, and it's
oh, maybe
so
I need
efficient.
To go and get that then.
Mm. Yeah. I also, I really like the upgrade bow. Doing 3 shots at once, it's simple, but making it less work for me to aim is a yeah. great thing, especially if I get swarmed by a bunch of enemies. It's just I can just fire and I'm gonna hit some enemies and it'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did either of you do any more exploring around here before we headed into the castle?
I definitely did.
You had some catching up to do.
I had some catching up
you did,
to do.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of heart containers just because I was, even with all my heart containers, I still died so many times in this dungeon. But yeah, I did a lot of exploring. There was one of those like dungeons where you're like you can get like the silver rupee as the reward in there.
Yes.
I got that one. I also spent like 2 minutes on the rupee rush to get that heart piece. I just took like 2 tries, and then the second try I got it within like 0.2, which felt so good because it was so close. And I was like, if I had been any slower, I wouldn't have gotten that. And so that just felt really good. But I'm really happy that I have way more hearts now because it's
oh, yeah.
so much nicer.
Have you got all your bottles now?
I have 3 bottles, and I am still looking for the one Jeremy was talking about with the one in the message in it, because I spent a good hour yesterday looking for that and couldn't find it.
Oh, that one's really obvious. No, it's not even under the bridge.
Under the bridge
No. It's over in the southeast corner, just in the water. You can just see it. If you just go wander around in the southeast corner where there's the little steps down to the water and there's the things like that. There's just you can just see that bottle sitting there. So
okay.
Did you go see the guy under the bridge too, because he just gives you a bottle. Yeah, it's just an empty bottle. He's really philosophical, and then he's just like, here's an empty bottle to make you think about life, and then you go on your way.
Yeah.
But
Matt, the ridiculous thing, I don't know, I mean, it's just my age, I think, but I literally have no recollection of getting that bottle in the southeast corner, but I did. I've got them all, and I've done that side quest with the message in the bottle, and I've done all of that, but I just don't remember getting it. I can't for the life of me picture where I picked that up. That's mad.
Right. And for that one, I thought it was at first going to lead to more a longer side quest, that's sort of a trade sequence a la Link's Awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead you just take the bottle to the milk bar, talk to the bartender there, and he'll just give you the premium milk, and then you take it to the guy. The guy's like, here, oh, thanks. Don't litter. Take the trash with you. And you keep the empty bottle. So that was the end of that quest.
Nice, though.
Yeah.
Nice, though. It's not. It was nice seeing what is essentially Malin in the... No, not Malin. Talon.
Yes.
Which one?
I think Malin. Malin's Mario. Or no, Mal... no. I'm going to have to edit this.
Hang on.
That's going to sound bad for me. 1.5 minutes later.
In Ocarina of Time, and I guess essentially in this, it's Malin and Talon. Talon being the man, the dad, who owns the milk bar. And it's nice to see him. As you were.
I'm going to have fun editing that one. So, is there anything else that we want to talk about before we get into the castle? I know that's just... This game, it just runs... So, you know, there's a lot of little things to find, little heart pieces to find all over the place. It feels good to play. So that's one of the things that's just fun to explore. Even I'm not fast traveling nearly as much as I thought I would, just because it's just good to move around in here.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to hear the little chirp of a Mai Mai that you haven't got, and you know, it's just like, oh, just, yeah, like you said, it's fun to wander around. It always feels rewarding to kill an enemy because the rupee drop rate is so high, but it doesn't feel like it's, you know, too high because you need a lot of rupees. Mm-hmm. So, but it always, you know, they've just got the balance really, really right. And any patch of grass might have a little golden bee in it. So I've always permanently got my net assigned to one of my two action buttons just in case a golden bee comes out. I saw a golden bee and I killed it by mistake.
Okay.
I made that same mistake. I accidentally killed a golden bee and then I cut another blade of grass and there was another one. And I made sure not to make that mistake. And I caught that golden bee and took it back to the bee dude.
How much do you get for it?
You don't get any money for it. What he does give you is he gives you this little medallion. I don't remember the name of the medallion, but this medallion makes it so that bees don't attack you anymore when you find them. And they just like circle you. And then if there's any enemies nearby, they will go and attack the enemies.
That's amazing.
So it does what... If you catch a bee, because I believe if you catch a bee and release a bee, it does that too. It'll attack enemies.
Oh, does it?
So now you don't have to actually hold on to them. So that's cool. Yeah, great.
That's very cool. Well, I know what I'm doing later.
One thing we didn't talk about is the monster parts. So we do come across one type so far in here. I also get really messed up because the sound effect of collecting the monster parts is the same sound effect of the Xbox Series X turning on. So I keep thinking my Xbox is turning on. Because it will, sometimes it'll do that when I turn my TV on anyway, even if I'm like going to just watch YouTube on the TV and not use the smart TV stuff, the Xbox will suddenly just be like, oh, you're turning on your TV. I'm connected to it. So let me turn on for you. And so I'm sitting in my living room hearing that. And I swear the sound is near identical, of collecting those and the chirp that the Xbox makes when you turn it on. But so far, I believe the only thing that we can do is sell those parts, right, to the witch?
Oh, okay. I haven't even looked into that, to be honest. I've just been collecting them, and I just assumed I assumed that I'd use them to make potions, but I hadn't looked into it. That was just my assumption based on... maybe another Zelda game or something. But yeah, I haven't looked into it.
Now, I guess we'll circle back around to it in the future. But Dennis, is there anything like vague that you remember about like what we do with these?
No, I'm pretty sure the only thing we can do with them is talk to the witch and that's it.
And you can just,
Just for potions. I think that's the only thing.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, all right. So the one other thing I wanted to bring up, Jonathan, you had mentioned in the first two episodes about this game running at 60 frames a second. Not consistently.
No.
From here on out, the game really starts to slow down. But I'm also thinking, when has there been a Zelda game that has run at a smooth frame rate? They have never been really that concerned. I think honestly, Breath of the Wild is when it first really got brought up. People were like, "Oh, it slows down here," and they're just like, "Okay, we'll try to fix it a little bit."
Yeah.
And then Tears of the Kingdom is just sort of like, "Yeah, no, we're not worried about frame rate on this."
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't impact anything, does it?
Doesn't. No.
Yeah, it's better than, I mean, targeting 60 and missing it is better than whatever the DS ones did, which was target 10 and get like 2. horrible.
Terrible, terrible games. But this game is not one of those. This game is a gem for
amazing.
Sure. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? When we get back, we're going to head into the castle. So we are ready to go into the castle. We can walk up to there. I believe Sahasrara stops us and gives us a little bit of info, being like, "Oh, you got the sword and all. That's great. Go ahead and use it to do all this." And we just go up to it and slash at the aura around it, and it just completely gets rid of the shield surrounding the castle. Pretty easy.
Pretty simple.
Easy. Yeah.
Now this This ends up being a very involved dungeon. Now, if those that have played Link to the Past, the castle was not that complex. Like the castle proper was just five or six rooms above ground, and then an underground that just sort of snakes around. It's not really a maze to get lost in or anything like that underground. This one, on the other hand, they did some work since then, because there is a lot going on in this castle. Now, Dennis, I'm sure that you had mentioned before this one was pretty tough for you.
Yes.
Any ballpark number of deaths?
I think without even being able to get, like, without even talking about, like, the boss, probably, like, 10 deaths just getting up there. And then every time you die, you spawn at the very beginning, so you have to go all the way back up again. It's very painful.
That sounds miserable.
A while.
Yeah, and it's you know, I keep talking about how much fun this game is to play, and I do believe that moving around and slashing your sword feels really good in this, but they do just throw a lot of enemies at you. When you're dealing with those guards that you can only hit by like hitting the counterclockwise slash at them to get around their weapon, because otherwise it'll deflect yours. But yeah, you combine that with the amount that we have. There's bomb throwing ones. They're throwing spears at us. All of this trying to keep us from making our way up there. It's a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of rupees, because there's a lot of red guards that just drop red rupees every time. And you just get so many. So many. It's great. I don't know about you, but even at this point, I'm still forgetting that I can merge on the wall.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally at the start of every play session I have, it takes me a bit of time to be like, oh yeah, I can do that. And also I'm like, oh yeah, no, I've got that item. Or, oh yeah, I forgot I've got that. I don't know. Maybe it's because I hop around and play so many different games fairly sort of, you know, concurrently that it just, it takes me a while. Just being old, so, just takes me a while to find my place. I'm like, which one's this? This is a Zelda? Is it? Oh, I don't remember. I don't know. It's one of those pen and paper. Yeah. Roller six.
Speaking of forgetting, though, Dennis, do you use the boomerang a lot? Because I found the boomerang to be incredibly helpful fighting these enemies, just quick stuns.
So I don't use the boomerang. What I do use is the hammer, because the hammer sends out like a little shockwave, and it can like it. So I upgraded my hammer, because upgraded hammer, very nice. It does send out a larger shockwave, which stuns enemies. It does take a little bit to wind up, so I definitely am going to try out the boomerang, see if that's more efficient.
So that's what I use the tornado rod for.
Yeah. Tornado rod does it too, which is really nice. But I feel like the hammer's really efficient for this dungeon, especially because like you're constantly being swarmed by multiple enemies at a time, and so with the hammer you're able to just stun them all at once, and so that definitely is really nice being able to do. But I'm definitely gonna have to try with the boomerang too, because I did forget that that's a thing in like most Zelda games. So.
Yeah, and I still get stuck to Link's Awakening's boomerang. That weapon was OP, and so I get back to playing these overhead 2D ones, and I'm like, I need the boomerang, and so I just still have it in my head, even though it's not doing more damage. Again, it's not doing any damage; it's only stunning them right now. Although I think the upgraded one might do damage. I can't remember what the upgrade boomerang does, because I did the upgrade on that, but I think it maybe just flies further.
Can you still do the Link's Awakening cuckoo trick with the boomerang, where you throw the boomerang, pick up a cuckoo, and then it just like the boomerang just stays hovering below
haven't tried it, but I'm gonna guess no.
That was cool.
It was really fun. That was always just a dumb little glitch to do that. Didn't help out too much, because you had to be in very specific situations for it. But it was funny.
So the upgrade for the boomerang, I just looked it up because I forgot what it was and what it does. What it does is it upgrades the range and the speed of the boomerang, and you can throw up to three at once.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
It doesn't use up a lot of Ravio points either. So that's also why that's good. Using that, because I noticed it just takes a sliver off each time. So that way, some of my other stuff, especially upgraded bombs, where I'm like, I'll put a bomb down and that takes off a third of my bar. And it's like, okay, let's slow down here.
That is pretty mad.
Yeah.
Now, when we're making our way up here, we do have a mini boss with a gold guard who has the what do you call that? The mace or what's the other term for
ball and chain?
The ball and chain. The
spinny
spins around.
Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, boomeranged. I would boomerang, stun him, run up to him, hit him with my sword.
Nice. Yeah.
Dennis, did you have any trouble with this guy in particular?
Surprisingly, no. I just had to use my shield to block his hits, and then I just ran up and just like spammed B, and he died relatively fast. So,
yeah. Nice.
Jonathan, anything for you?
Tornado Rod, man. Just easy. Just knocked him on his bum, and then just slashed away at him. Easy.
When in doubt, easy peasy. Tornado Rod.
Tornado Rod.
Tornado Rod.
We get up to here. And we do confront Yuga. Now, this battle, I remember the first time doing this and remember having some trouble with it. But it was kind of, this time around, it was very frantic for me. I can't really say exactly if I didn't really have a strategy. It was just a lot of, he kept appearing in different places. And I'm just like, I'm just going to slash this guy.
It was purely by chance that I was sort of moving around and I just happened to be nearest the real one, like every time. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't even, you can see which one it is. If I can't remember what the detail is, but there's a little giveaway detail to which is the real one when he splits.
Mm.
But yeah, I was just like, I'll just hit this one next to me. Oh, it's the real one. I had so many heart containers. I probably got hit a few times, but it didn't trouble me. I just,
This fight was a pain.
Oh no. Friggin',
it was so painful because I had so much trouble remembering what the trick was. I never ended up remembering what the trick was to tell which one was the real one. And so I'm just going after random ones and I'm like, why isn't it him? And I just kept dying over and over again because I couldn't figure it out. Eventually, though, I did get a relatively good strategy because I upgraded the bow and I would shoot it at one of them. And if it turned out to be him, I'm like, yay, let's go. And then I'd go attack him.
Because the tough thing about that is it's not that if you hit the wrong one, it just disappears. If you hit the wrong one, it spawns soldiers.
Yeah.
So you're just immediately ganged up on.
And in like the second form, I guess, it also shoots off like waves of lightning that you have to look out for as well if you do the wrong one. Like I said, I got him in some corner where he just kept spawning in the same corner over and over again. And I was like, okay, fine. This is fine. I'm not going to complain. But we do that. He then is just like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm out of here. And he goes and disappears. Now we do get a door opened and we follow up this other path. We are out on this walkway way up high in the sky. Now, again, these are not things that were in the original castle. They have added on so many things, so many additions to this
scaffolding.
Castle. Yes. A lot of scaffolding, for safety. And, we do find sort of the, I don't know. This was their study, I guess you could say. That's what it felt like. There's like a desk and books here and all of that stuff. But we do see in the north side of it that there is a curtain covering something that's got some like black smoke looking thing coming through it. If we go and slash that, we see a little slit in the wall. And, you know, we use our ability. Jonathan, do you remember? Did you just bang your head against this for a little while?
I remembered at this point.
Okay, good.
I remembered at this point. I'm pleased to report.
We go through there and we just are tripping out. This is where we will first see it. And fortunately, it's not as long when we repeat this in the future. But we do see him just like, imagine well, again, if you're playing this, you know what it's like. But it reminded me of Majora's Mask. At the very beginning, yeah. When we fall down and you have those like colorful little images floating past you. But this one, it's all just like 2D and it's all just swirling around you. And at some point it flashes black and white and then goes back to color again. Mm. And then we pop out on another side. Another thing we didn't mention is a nice little feature. When you do go into the 2D sort of thing on there, the music also gets flatter. If you turn the music up and hear that, you can hear. I don't know if it's going stereo to mono necessarily, but
it's certainly more distant, isn't it? It's just like it's like I don't know. It's like you leave the room.
Mm-hmm. You're hearing it in the next room over.
That's what it sounds like.
It's great.
I like that a lot.
But we do come out here and we see a room that looks very similar, a little more purplish, I guess. And we go and follow out through there as well. Basically, going back the way that we came, we go through here and we do find Yuga again. And this time he's got a whole bunch of portraits surrounding him. And fact is, we're just too late. Yuga has done what he wanted to do. I do like this when games do this because it for the longest time, you know, you're building a party or you're building yourself up as the hero to defeat the villain and all of that. A few games here and there, I'm thinking of like Final Fantasy VI does something like this where you lose, basically. That the thing that you were trying to stop, you weren't actually able to do it. And in this case, Yuga was able to collect all of the sages, trapping them in portraits, including Zelda, and summoned Ganon very quickly. We already have Ganon here, and it almost felt like
taking out.
Yeah, it just felt like everything's done. We lost. Too bad. During the ceremony as well, Yuga then also fuses with Ganon. I don't know if they have a name for this.
They do. It's Yuganon. And every time I've said Yuga's name, I've struggled so hard not to say Yuganon because that's what I'm used to. Every time I have to consciously think about it.
Spoilers. But no.
I thought it was Man Bear Pig, but I'm obviously wrong.
See, I was like, Yunan? What am I calling it here?
Gagu.
But Yuganon is about to murder us, and someone jumps in the way. A character looking very much like our friend Zelda. But you know, before she even introduced herself, because this is a video game, we do see her name on her text there. This is Hilda, and she basically says, I even screenshotted one of the things that she said, which I was just like, wow, just really, really doing that. My name is Princess Hilda, and I have failed you in every way. I was like, oh,
it's great storytelling.
Wow.
It's amazing. I love it. I love it.
She had been trying to stop Yuga from doing everything that he needed to do, but he had gone to the other side that they couldn't reach because Hilda was still trapped in this realm. So they had been working to try to stop him from doing all this, and they failed too. So everyone just failed all around. Congrats to Yuga.
It's a proper like Infinity War and like like the end of Infinity War. Where it's just like, oh god, what have we done? Oh no.
Speaking of Marvel, she does like covers him in spider webs looking things to hold him down for some time while she explains what's going on here. So she then also teleports us away from here. And she then does a little bit more of an info dump of explaining. She does.
There's a brilliant thing that happens right in between that, which is you see the loading screen.
Oh, yes.
For the first time, bearing an upside down Triforce.
Yes.
Very good.
Very cool. It's very cool. It's very subtle. Like, it's, yeah, it's dark and like, I don't know, emoed up a bit, but it's, you know, you wouldn't really notice it because you're sort of like trained to, it's a loading screen. I'm waiting, you know, you're not looking, but then you're like, okay. this is somewhere else.
But yeah, she explains what's happened and that what needs to be done is that she's going to ask us to help out and go recover these sages. And they are scattered around here. And once we can find all of them, we can gain enough power to hopefully stop Euganon. So that sounds, it just sounds...
Me Ganon.
You Ganon.
Me Ganon.
Not you Ganon. Ganon.
No, me Ganon.
But then, yeah, we get kicked out of here and we see a whole new map here. And it looks very similar to the previous one, but it's the Dark World. Here we are now.
So good.
Yes.
It's so good. I love that it's low rule.
It's so good.
Yes, high rule, low rule. There are some lore things that aren't, I can't remember how in depth they go into it, but basically it was that, you know, when in A Link to the Past, they sealed away Ganon, they sealed him in what we call the Dark World. And then from there, more of like, that became more of a hospitable place, I guess. So people started to live there and all of that, but then Yuga eventually started to run amok and destroy things and create havoc and bring monsters back and all of that. So it's almost like us, you know, us living in the light world or the Hyrule didn't think about this other dimension, almost like very Marvel in a way, multiverse kind of thing. That sure, Ganon has been gone from our world because of
Gonon.
He's gone. But now we have to think about it again. And now it's up to us to go and collect all of these 7 portraits, bring them back, pull the people back out of them, use their power to be able to defeat Euganon. But that means we are going to have to go and do some exploring. Now, this is where we can freely just go wherever. Jonathan, why don't you go ahead and pick first? Where are we going to head?
Well, I think we should. I mean, it was my first playthrough. It was where I went first. I wanted to see. I thought, well, if Kakariko Village has got some stuff going on, basically, where can I find the shop in this world? And I went straight to Kakariko Village, which is not Kakariko Village. It's Thieves Town and the Thieves Hideout is where I'm going to head first.
All right, let's go. So, go do some exploring. You are open to do that's the thing. You could go to pretty much all but I think like one dungeon right now.
Yeah.
And you want to go and explore and get some heart containers. I believe there's, according to Zelda Dungeon, 11 new heart pieces available for you to collect here.
Wow.
So that's plenty of stuff to do there. New items to collect as well. So and new Maimais to find. We have another, I believe, 50 Maimais in this world as well to go and find. So go do all that. Go complete the Thieves' Den and then be back here and we'll talk about it on Shadow of the Wild. No, you're thinking Marin. Marin's the girl. Malin is the guy.
Okay. So, yeah. Because in Link's Awakening, it's Marin and Taryn. Talyn.
No. Marin, Malin is Marin the girl, and Taryn. Yes.
Yeah, Marin is the girl in Link's Awakening. Tarin is the man in Link's Awakening. In Ocarina of Time, Malon is the man, and Talon is what?
Dennis, save us, and then I'm going to just edit all of this.
I'm so old.
So Malon is the guy, I'm pretty sure, in Link's Awakening. And then Marin is... Wait.
No. Marin is definitely the girl in Link's Awakening.
No, yeah, Marin's the girl in Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
And her dad is...
Her dad.
Her dad is Tarin. Malon is the girl in Ocarina of Time. Talon is... Talon is the Mario guy.
Are we sure about this?
I'm 100% sure. Yes, I've literally just looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yes. Marin and Tarin. Yeah. Yes. Marin is the girl, Tarin is her dad. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening.